Hi, everybody. What an incredible call and welcome from all over the world. I want to welcome everyone to session 8 in our 12-week program. You know, too often in life we get so busy that we don't stop to take the time to refresh ourselves, and that in turn wears us down. And in today's session, Gary's going to discuss with us how to keep ourselves from burning out so we can continue to have the energy and the desire to maintain that follow-through attitude. So he'll share with us ways to keep our lives fulfilled and how to become better communicators.
Welcome to Session 8 in Mastering the Art of Follow-Through. As for each session, this one being no different, you will need your workbook. Remember, too, when you hear this beep, it means that we're going from the call back here into the studio. Let's listen in now on Session 8.
So everybody, again, let's welcome personal growth expert and life strategist, Mr. Gary Cox.
Julie, thank you so much for helping out and being on the call tonight again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, let's get started, everybody. We are already at Session 8. Can you imagine? We've really come a long way. It's about, 2 months or so already on this. Before we get heavy into Lesson 8, let's do a quick review on some of the things from Session 7. Maybe perhaps some of you were unable to join us last week. We spoke a little bit about making sure we don't allow our past to prevent us from going forward. One of the things that we discussed last week is how everything that we've ever experienced in our life from the moment that we were born to this very moment, these are the things that have really programmed us, and a lot of it has made us who we are today, some good, some bad. So we also focused on the importance of learning how to accept certain programming. In other words, how to identify what bad programming is and be able to identify in such a way that you know it's not going to benefit you. And also, once you get to that point, you can discard that. In other words, you don't allow it to affect your thinking. And then also to be able to identify the good programming, if you will, and be able to take that good programming and allow it to benefit your life and benefit your mind. Remember how we did that and how we would learn to identify what's good programming and what's bad programming? The way we would identify the good and the bad programming is we would have to identify the thought and determine what our outcome would be by acting on that thought. And then we needed to ask ourselves, is that in harmony with our goals and values? Once we're able to do that, figure out what the thought is, then if we continue to fly by that thought or fly by that belief, that's coming from that part we talked about on mental vertigo, we determine then what our outcome is. If our outcome from buying that belief or accepting that belief is in harmony with our goals and values, well, that's good programming, if you will. That's the programming that we want to keep. If the thought process is something that would not be in harmony with our goals, well, then that's something we want to discard, and we don't want that to infiltrate, if you will. We don't want that to affect the way that we think. Now let's go to Session 8. I hope by now that you've been able to print off the information from the website. Today we have 2 pages that we're going to be focusing on. And we're going to start off with, how much do I enjoy helping people? So we're going to talk a lot about helping people. A lot of the information that we've been sharing with so far is about our goals and doing things for ourselves. But you'll find something quite interesting tonight. We're going to be focusing on really helping other people, but to do that, there's some things that we need to focus on individually for us to really be able to effectively help other people and do it in such a way that we enjoy it and really feel fulfilled from doing it. Because there's a lot of people that think they're helping other people, but they're not getting the benefit. They're not feeling fulfilled, and they really should be. So we're going to talk about how that happens. How did you answer that? How did you grade yourself on Session 1 when we talked about how much do I enjoy helping other people? Did you give yourself a 5? Did you give yourself a 10? Maybe if you have Session 1 in front of you, you could look back to see how you did grade yourself. And that would be about the 8th thing on Session 1. How much do I enjoy helping other people? Between the time that we started Lesson 1 and today, it's been about 2 months, have you seen any improvement? Are you enjoying helping other people more because of hopefully the information that you've been able to take in over the last 8 sessions or so? Hopefully you have been. Something to think about, though. You don't have to help other people to be financially successful. Before you pass judgment on what I just said there, listen to me. Here's what I mean by that. if we're talking about making your goal to be successful financially, you really don't have to help other people, because we know that there are drug dealers out there that don't really care about other people, but they're successful financially, right? But unfortunately, they have things backwards, don't they? So the point is, you don't have to help other people if you want to be successful financially. There's a lot of people out there that do crooked things, and they're successful financially. They take advantage of other people. But how can you be successful in life if you don't do other things for other people, if you don't enjoy helping other people? If we want to enjoy life, it's really going to be hard to be successful in life if we don't enjoy helping other people. Wouldn't it be nice to have really best of both worlds, to be able to enjoy helping other people and having a successful life by doing that, and also receiving or reaping the benefits financially from helping people? So I just thought that might be an interesting thing for you to think about. Let's go to our next statement to fill in the blanks here. We seem to get more enjoyment. Fill in the blank there with the word enjoyment. We seem to get more enjoyment out of life when we help those whom we expect, put the word expect in the next blank, nothing back from. So the sentence again, or the statement, we seem to get more enjoyment out of life when we help those whom we expect nothing back from. Good point, isn't it? See, it's so easy to help other people when we expect something from them. It goes without saying, of course, when you're in business, if that's one of your goals, to be successful in your business, obviously you help people, and in return, you get something back. You know, there's a financial exchange there usually. But I'm just talking about outside of the business and outside of your financial goals. A lot of times, it's really easy to help other people when you're going to get something back from them. And to prove this, do you ever feel obligated to accept a favor from somebody because you know they're going to demand a payback in the future because they helped you, and now they're going to come back to you maybe a year from now, 5 months from now, and say, hey, you remember when I did this and that for you? Or maybe they won't even say that, but they kind of just hang it over you a little bit. So why did they really help you? Did they really help you because that was their true motive? They just wanted to help you to help you? Or did they help you because they wanted something back from you? We are really more fulfilled when we can help people and do things for other people when we really don't expect anything back. I remember one day I was dealing with a gentleman, and I offered him something. It's just a gift, and he thought there were strings attached. And I'll never forget his statement. And he looked at me kind of awkwardly, and he said, well, what do you want from me? I said, nothing. I'm honestly just giving that to give it to you. I think you would enjoy it. He goes, well, see, people don't give things to people because they don't want something back. What do you want back from me? And I said, nothing. And what's interesting, he taught me, unfortunately, something about himself. What's he telling me? He's telling me that he usually or probably doesn't give things to other people unless he's expecting what? Unless he's expecting something back. If I was expecting something back, the only thing I was expecting back was a good feeling from giving something to somebody and not expecting anything back in return. So if I wanted to accept something back from him, well, what was it? It was just an internal feeling of the satisfaction or the sense of satisfaction of helping somebody. So that's the key. Learn to do things to help other people, little things, big things. Do things for people that you don't expect anything back from. It's really exciting to do. It's very, very fulfilling. A lot of people can get very discouraged and depressed in life. I've been there, done that. I've got many, many T-shirts on that one. And I've always found if we can do things to help other people, not just things that we're going to get things back from, but also help people do things and do things for other people when you know they can't even repay you. Example, just kind of a neat thing. If you want to get a great feeling with just a few dollars, maybe $3 or $4 or $5, next time you're going to a grocery store and you're at the cashier and there's nobody behind you, give the cashier, hopefully you can trust the cashier, give the cashier, after you've paid for your stuff, give the cashier an extra $5 and so, and tell that cashier you want to apply it to the next person that comes in line. and you just walk away outside the store, maybe where you could see through the door there, and watch the expression on that person's face. And you don't want them to know that you gave them that money. You just want to see the expression. Let me tell you, that $5, that feeling will last a long time, just to do things for people that they don't even expect it, and they know they can't even give anything back to you. That's a very good thing to do. And I think a lot of times, you know, we get so wrapped up in the everyday pressures and challenges of life, we really forget to do something like that for other people. But there's a challenge here, though. And I've got to be really careful of this, and I think we all do to some degree. I remember years ago, there was a gentleman, and he needed, basically his car was just down and out, and he did not have the money. And I remember having a good friend of mine who was a mechanic, and I told him if he would take his vehicle to this mechanic, he can go ahead and get his car fixed, and I would swallow everything. I would take care of it. Well, I remember it came up to nearly $500, and I didn't want anything back from him, never wanted anything back from him. But this gentleman is in a business that I know I could hire him to do some work for me. I thought about hiring him, and then I got a quote, and I said to myself, I caught myself, I said, wait a minute, after what I did for him years ago, I would have hoped to have gotten a better price. But I said, stop, that's not right. Because see, what was my motive? I said my motive was to help him, and I didn't want anything back from him, and now it's time, 5 or 6 or 7 years later, that I'm going to ask him to do something for me, and now I'm really expecting a discount. Well, maybe that would have been a nice thing for him to do, but if I was really, really, really honest and sincere about wanting to help him and not wanting anything back, then I need to shut up and not complain about the fact I feel that I should have gotten a better deal. Look out for that sometimes. You'll find yourself saying, wait a minute, he should do me a little better. Look what I did for him. But wait, what was our real motive? Did we really want to help somebody and do something for them where we really expected something back in the future? Well, you'll see the difference, and I'm sure you feel the difference when you know you can do something for somebody and you don't want anything back, and years later, if you want them to do something for you, don't call up on it. Just leave it alone. Make sure your motive is right. Let's go to the next statement. What can make it so challenging to take the fill in the word here with the word time? What can make it so challenging to take the time and justify the cost, add the word cost, to help others? What can make it so challenging to take the time and justify the cost to help others? Well, why did I put the word cost in there? Because it does. It costs us to help other people. It may cost us with our money. It may cost us with our time. It may cost us with human emotions, our own emotions. And I remember years ago when I was getting really started into personal growth and really heavy into it, getting going, and I started counseling a lot of people, and I noticed there were some people that were very, very, very depressed. And when I started working with them, I would start taking on some of their emotions. In fact, I had read something that I think it's psychiatrists, their life expectancy, depending on the type of practice they have, can be 10 or 20 years less than the average person because they assume some of the emotions or many of the emotions a lot of their clients and patients. So when we help other people, just even emotionally, you know, have them lean on us, you know, we kind of put a shoulder out for them, it does cost us emotionally. So why then is it so challenging at times to help other people? You know, some people, they get caught up, you know, like that little hamster, and they just keep going and going and going and going and going. And when they get going and going and going, they can't even stop to help other people. So what I thought it would be good to do is try to identify, and again, here's where we got to be honest. Remember that statement, you can't change what you don't acknowledge? To change something, you first have to acknowledge it. To acknowledge it, you have to be honest with yourself. I think it might be a good idea to see if we could identify what might make it challenging for us individually to want to try to help other people. And it's so easy to say, oh yeah, I help other people. But do we help other people because it's convenient, or are we willing to go out of our way to help other people? When we go out of our way, that's when it becomes very challenging. So what might be some of the things that you would put down? We've got four spots there, four sentences, four lines that you could add some things. If you want to add more, fine. If you don't have four, that's fine too. Here's a couple things that you might want to put down to answer what can make it so challenging to take the time and justify the cost to help others. Well, one could be maybe you've helped others in the past and you had some bad experiences. It kind of blew up in your face. So now you're thinking, you know, look at all these people I've helped, all the time I've spent, all the money, and now I'm going to try to help somebody else. I don't know about that. Maybe that's something that's stopping you or preventing you from helping other people. Here's another one we might want to consider. Maybe we're just plain selfish. Some people are just selfish. They're just all about me, and they don't want to help anybody else. That's it. They're all about me, selfish. That's it. Maybe they're just so cheap. Financially, they're not willing to help anybody. They're very, very cheap. Another thing might be, oh, maybe it just takes too much effort. Because, see, it does take a lot of effort if we're going out of our way to help somebody. If somebody asks us for a ride and we're driving right by where they go or they need to go, that might be a no-brainer to help them. But maybe they want a ride and it's 3 miles, 5 miles, 6 miles out of the way. See, that's going to maybe take too much effort. So in that case, we might not want to help them. So these are things that I think would be good to identify. And a lot of times, we want to help people, I think, till it hurts a little bit. I hear a lot of times when people commend other people, and I'm not minimizing the contribution some people give, but some people, you'll hear them, they'll give, you know, so-and-so give tens of thousands of dollars, or they give millions of dollars. And we think, oh, that's so nice. And again, I'm not minimizing their gift or contribution, but a lot of times these people have billions of dollars, and they may not even feel it. What do we give? Do we give, you know, just the little stuff, or are we really trying to give where we kind of feel it a little bit? And as crazy as it sounds, the more that feel, that pain that you haven't given, usually the more fulfilled or the more reward you get from giving. So it's important. You know, as we're giving, though, a lot of times, and not just the giving part, but, you know, going through that routine of life, trying to keep things going, trying to, you know, take care of the family and work our goals, all the different things that we have to do in life, we can easily get burned out. And I'm sure all of you at one time or another in this call have experienced what it's like to be burned out, getting burned out. So what can we do to prevent ourselves from hitting that point, that wall of burning out? And why that's important is, to understand is, if we get burned out, are we going to be able to master the art of follow through? There is no way that we're going to be able to master this art of following through if we're burned out. So let's talk about that. Oprah Winfrey had a very interesting statement that she said. I was listening to an interview, and let's go ahead and fill in the blanks on this statement. It makes so much sense. Where you see the words, fill your own, we're right there. Fill your own, put the word well, W-E-L-L. Fill your own well, so your, the next word is cup, so your cup, C-U-P, so your cup can run over to help others. Interesting. Fill your own well, so your cup can run over to help others. Notice this, though. She didn't say, fill your own cup so it can run over to help others. If you fill your own cup, you can only fill it so much. If you want it to run over, you got to have a deeper source. And where's that deeper source? What is that deeper source? That's the well. I remember years ago as a kid, my uncle had a very large nursery where he had trees and plants and flowers. And it was way, way in the rural area in the south part of Florida, and he had one of these old wells, and it had one of those pumps, you know, that you had to do by hand, and you pump, and you pump, and you pump, and if that pump is dry, you could pump all day long, and nothing is going to come out of it. You know what I'm getting at. To get that water to come out of that pump, what do we have to do? We've got to prime it a little bit. How do we prime it? We have to add a little bit of what? We have to add a little bit of water, and if we had a lot of extra water there, we could just put that water in there and start pumping and pumping and pumping, and what happens? That water starts coming and coming and coming, and if you keep that pump going and you keep it primed and you're still pumping, the water still comes and still comes. But if you stop pumping, and you stop pumping for a while, after you've stopped pumping for a while, what's going to happen? You try to pump and pump again. Nothing happens. No water. You got to get some more of that water and prime it again. If you ever run out of that water, you're going to be in problems. So you always have to keep a little bit of that reserve, enough for that prime to keep that pump going so you can pump and pump and pump, and then the water starts coming. With that in mind, let's take advantage of some of the information that Oprah is sharing with us. She doesn't say that we have to keep our cup full. We've got to really fill the well so we can keep our cup full so it will run over to help others. So at this point, I think it would be important to identify, let's go to the next statement here, identify how you would fill your own well. We're going to add the words fill and the word well. Identify how you would fill your own well. Very interesting. Now, this woman knows how to give. There's no question about it. How is she able to continue to give? Well, granted, obviously she can afford it too, but she does give a lot emotionally. But what does she do and how does she do this? She does this by keeping her what? Her well filled. Unfortunately, what some people do is they wait till their cup or their well is maybe a half or two-thirds empty. Then it becomes too late. They're starting to run out. That well is dry. There's no more water for the prime. And then they start feeling hectic. They feel like just throwing in the towel. They're going to have a nervous breakdown. And that's the way it's not supposed to be. We've got to keep that well pumped, and we've got to keep it filled. That is the key. So how do we do that? Each one of us individually have different ways of filling or keeping our well full. You might do it one way, I might do it another way, and that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some specific ways to do this, because if we don't do this effectively, what's going to happen is the well's going to run dry, we certainly can't keep our cup full, we certainly can't let it run over, and if we're unable to let the cup run over, we're not going to be able to really be effective helping who? Helping other people. And it really is so important to learn to master this. So let's talk about how we can do this. Unfortunately, for some people, we don't have a balance, and we really have to have a balance in doing this. Let me give you the one end of the spectrum and the other end if we don't have a balance. You have some people that they're just into filling their own well, and that's all they want to fill. They don't want to fill anybody else's cup or help anybody else. They just want to fill their own thing. Then you have some people that they cannot create the balance of really learning to fill their own well so their cup can overflow to help other people. And here's how they show that. They feel very guilty. They feel very uncomfortable when they try to take a little time to themselves. They feel guilty maybe because they're not taking their children with them or their spouse or their mother or father. And what happens is these people go so overboard, they can't take any time for themselves. They can't spend a little bit of money or a lot of money for that matter on themselves because of that guilt. And they wait so long till the well is practically dried, and they feel dried out emotionally and mentally. Everybody's pulling from them, and the reason they perceive that everybody is pulling from them, they haven't taken enough time, and they wait till it's too late, till they practically have a nervous breakdown, and then they say, I got to get out of here, and they run away for a week or two or several days or whatever, and whether they realize it or not, they have forced themselves to run away. They're trying to fill their well, but it's going to be really difficult because they've waited so long. So the key is to learn to find that balance, and when you find that balance, you are able to do things like Oprah, maybe not at the level she does, but at least with the spirit that she has. So how do we do that? We've got to keep our well full. So let's talk about how we would do that specifically. If we go down at the bottom of page one on session eight, we're going to talk about some exercises, things that we want to do, some things that we want to write down to be consciously aware of how we can fill our well on a daily basis and also on a weekly, monthly, or a yearly or annual basis. Again, the importance here of understanding this is we need to know how to master this, because everything that we do in life anyway, it costs us emotionally. And if we really want to help other people grow in a business or in life in general, and we're going to try to help them, it's going to cost you emotionally. If it doesn't cost you in any other way, it's certainly going to cost you emotionally and mentally. I know when I do some of these talk shows where they bring for me maybe 7 or 8 or 10 people with major psychological challenges, they challenge me to try to change these people's thought processes or their thinking in a matter of maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours. So here I have 8 or 10 people that have had psychological limitations for maybe 20, 30, 40 years, and they want me to do all these people in this short period or short amount of time. As I'm working with these people individually and trying to accomplish this task, I can promise you at the end of the day, when I've completed this entire process with going through the interviews, working with these people, reprogramming them, I feel incredibly, incredibly exhausted. Why? Because I am helping other people, and as I'm helping them, it's costing me emotionally, and it drains me. So I have to constantly focus on refueling myself. So here is how I refuel myself, and by the way, I do not wait till that well is empty. By no means. Now, I used to, and if you're at that point, you really want to work on changing that, because when you do change this, as you're helping people, you're not feeling so drained. You're feeling really connected. You're feeling that you're serving a purpose. You're also seeing the results of serving your purpose by also helping other people. So let's talk about it. What can you do daily to fill your well so your cup can run over to help other people? I'll give you a couple examples of the things that I do virtually every single day to keep myself refueled. If some of this applies to you, jot it down. If it doesn't, fine. Look for something that you can do or should be doing or could be doing. Because if you're not doing it, then you're not keeping that well full, are we? If you need to do it, then you're giving yourself a sign that says, hey, wait a minute, I see the need here to keep filling this well so my cup can overflow so I can help other people, but I'm not doing it. But here's the answer. Here's what I need to do. Well, at least write that down and then make it part of your goals to follow through on this so you can keep that well full. So some of the things I'd like to do, similar to some of the information I shared with you when we were talking about really staying focused and not allowing things to sidetrack us. When I drive by myself in my car, I like no noise. I don't want to listen to anything. I just want complete silence. It gives me time to think. So for me, on a daily basis, this is one of the things that I do to keep my well full. Exercise. Now, sometimes I don't do that every single day, but sometimes exercise will help me get that feeling of having that well full. Meditation, that's a good one. Meditation. Now, when we think about meditation, you know, some people get this imagination where, you know, you got your legs folded, you're sitting on the floor there, and you're floating off the floor. But basically, what is meditation? Meditation is simply an interview with yourself. So you're relaxed. You have a nice, relaxed state of mind, and you're asking yourself questions. How am I doing? Am I progressing? Can I be a better father, a better friend? Can I be better at this? Where can I make improvements? And you're just nice and relaxed, nice and quiet surroundings, and you're just thinking about things that you can do and improve on. Another way that you might be able to fill your own well is maybe you want to start off every day reading. Some people read the scriptures in the morning. They may do that as well as reading some quotations on personal growth. There's a lot of different things. Maybe there's somebody that you like to talk to every single day that by talking to them, it helps fill your well. I want you to take some time after this call and see if you can identify these things. These are things that hopefully you are doing now. If you're not doing specific things to fill your own well, see if you can identify what you should be doing. Put this down and make a note that this is something that I should be doing and see if you can work on this. Remember, the time to try to work on this is not when the well is empty. That's when it usually gets too late. Now, some of you listening to this call, you may already be at that point, that, boy, that well is just about empty, if not already there. Well, you got to start somewhere, so now we're going to need to start filling that well back up. This is a great place to start. We don't just want to fill our well on a daily basis. There's also a weekly, monthly, or maybe a yearly basis. So what are specific things that you can do throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, that you can keep this well full? I'll share with you some of the things that I like to do. Some of this stuff sounds crazy. Here's one that probably sounds really crazy, but if I'm in town and not traveling on the weekends, I love to go to bed very early Saturday nights. I don't know what it is, but if I can be in bed about 8:30, no later than 8:30, 8 o'clock, just to be in bed and relax, talk to nobody on the phone, just relax, knowing that I'm going to get a real nice night's rest. I can wake up early in the morning, and when I wake up early in the morning, there will be no TV. I can just keep everything quiet, do a little bit of reading. For me, Saturday, 8:30, 8 o'clock, that's my thing. For you, it might be something else. I know it sounds crazy, but it works for me. It helps me fill my well. Every 8 or 10 weeks, I like to go and take a vacation for maybe 3 days, 2 or 3 days. I like to just go to the islands and go away. So what do you like to do? Every month, is there something? Maybe it's for you, it's a massage. For some people, they like a massage every week. For some people, maybe they can only afford it once a month or once every 2 months. Fine, do something for yourself that you can fill that well. Every year, at the end of the year, every December, I like to devote about a week to myself to work on my flying skills. So I might go ahead and get an additional rating or go to do a flying school just to, you know, perfect my skills. Sometimes that doesn't refresh me mentally because there's a lot of work involved. Sometimes it's a solid week, but it refreshes me internally. And when I say internally, in other words, I feel like I've achieved something. There's a feeling of accomplishment. So what about you? That just gives you some examples about me, not to tell you all about what I do, but I just want you to see how you might be able to relate to some of the things that I do to keep my well full. What can you do? Think about these things. Write them down. Are you doing them? If you're not doing them, what for you would help you on a weekly, monthly, or yearly basis fill your well? Make a note of it and then try to work on that. And you will feel that your life is so much more fulfilled or so much more enjoyable. Well, we're going to switch gears very quickly. Now we're going to talk about how effective am I as a communicator. That was also on session one. It was about the ninth thing I think we discussed on session one. How effective am I as a communicator? So put the word communicator in there. How would you grade yourself now? How did you grade yourself 8 weeks ago? Do you see an improvement? So we'll just take a few minutes here talking about what it means to be an effective communicator. Let's go to the next statement there on your page 2, session 8. Being a good communicator enables us to effectively fill in the blank here with the word transfer. Being a good communicator enables us to effectively transfer our ideas or thoughts to those listening. Fill in that next blank with the word listening, okay? To be an effective communicator, it's really a skill, and it's something that can be learned. It's something that can be learned. But here's what's also interesting. With regards to being an effective communicator, we also need to see the importance of, again, understanding the information that's on session one. So to be an effective communicator, for example, we have to really believe in what we're doing. If we don't believe in what we're doing and we try to effectively communicate our message or try to effectively communicate our ideas and we don't believe in what we're doing, somebody can pick up on that. They can see that in us. They can see that by how we're communicating and the things that we're saying and how we're saying them. And they could just challenge you, and because you really don't believe in what you're saying, all of a sudden, they're going to smother you, if you will. You're going to stop pushing forward. You're going to stop going forward because you really don't believe in what you're doing. And because you don't believe in what you're doing, you're going to have a hard time communicating that you really do when you don't. So just little things that are in session one are so effective to us being a better communicator. And these are things that we have to all put them together. It's like that domino effect. For example, if you can't see your future or your vision, you're going to have a hard time communicating. So when we talk about being effective as a communicator, we're not talking about having the ability to articulate your words or being able to communicate very clearly. If you have an accent, you know, you no longer have that accent. You speak clearer so people can understand you better. There are people who have terrible accents, if you will, and they communicate very effectively because they know how. Now let's go to the next statement. An effective communicator can truly put themselves in other people's shoes. Something you've heard before. An effective communicator can truly put themselves in other people's shoes. The next sentence, they understand the other person's feelings. They understand, put the word understand in there, they understand the other person's feelings, positive or negative, their thoughts, doubts, failures, and successes. Note the next sentence. They can appeal to the masses. M-A-S-S-E-S. They can appeal to the masses. In other words, they're so effective in their communication that what they're saying can appeal to just about everybody that they're listening to. They understand how they think because they can put themselves in their shoes, and because of that, they can find a common ground and they can appeal to the masses. Now, here's a very, very important point about being able to master the skill of being a great communicator. Page 2 at the bottom there, session 8. You measure your communication skills. You measure your communication skills by the, notice the next two words that we're going to fill in, by the response you receive. You measure your communication skills by the response you receive. Very interesting. Let's stop and think about this. Now, usually men and women, they have a tendency to communicate just a little differently. Example, you can have a husband that tells his wife every day, honey, I love you. Maybe when he hangs up with her or he walks out of the house, honey, I love you. And then one day she just comes up and says, honey, you know, I just don't feel loved. And he says, what do you mean? I say I love you every single day. But what is he missing? Again, you measure your communication skills by the response that you receive. What is the response that he's getting from his words, I love you? It's not that she feels loved, because if she felt loved, she wouldn't have the complaint. So what does it mean? Does it mean that he has to say, I love you differently? Ah, absolutely. Not necessarily how he says it verbally, but for her to feel loved, maybe just saying, I love you doesn't get it. And he can say, I love you all day long, but it's not doing anything for her. And he needs to see that here's the response I'm getting from saying this, I love you. And if I want her to feel loved, this, I love you, these words aren't working. So for her, maybe it's a rose once a week, or maybe it's somebody, you know, maybe she's just looking for him to hold her hand or give her a rose once a month or do something else. And when he does that in her mind's eye, that means to her, I am loved. Interesting. So again, you measure your communication skills by the response that you receive. If we can put ourselves in other people's shoes and understand how other people think, we are able to be more effective in communicating. And we prove that by when we communicate, the message that we're getting, basically we communicate in symbols. And you stop and think about it. Every time we say or do something, it's a symbol. It's something that we're trying to send out, a signal, if you will. And the person on the other end, you want to make sure that they're receiving the exact same symbol or signal as you're sending out. And if they have a different means of communicating and they don't understand exactly what you're saying, even though it sounds like you're saying the right thing, we go back to this thought again. You measure your communication skills by the response that you receive. So if you're saying something and you get a different response and you think you should be saying, well, hey, you know, I'm saying this, why am I not getting that right response here? Well, maybe they're not getting the message. And we know that because of the response that we're receiving, just like that husband and wife. So interesting point on communication. I'm not going to spend a tremendous amount on this particular point, only because we could go into great detail on this, and not knowing everybody and what everybody's goals are on this particular call, it would be hard for us to go through specific scenarios on how each one of us should communicate a specific message. We'll do a quick review, and that was a quick 40 minutes or so. Again, we want to really emphasize the importance of helping other people. We want to help other people in any avenue in life that we can, but keep in mind, we really feel incredibly fulfilled when we can help other people and know that we're not going to get anything back other than perhaps the sheer satisfaction of saying, hey, I've helped somebody today. And that in itself should be more than enough to really give you a good sense of satisfaction. Remember, anytime we help other people, it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us perhaps mentally, emotionally, financially. And as we help people, if we know it's going to cost us, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to fill our bank. We're going to have to fill that well. Don't forget what Oprah says, fill your own well so your cup can run over to help others. So it's important really that we learn not just to fill our cup so so we can help others, but fill our well. Because if we fill that well, that cup can overflow. And then as we're overflowing, we're just helping other people and helping more people and more people and more people. The key here, though, is don't wait till the last minute. Don't wait till your well is dry. That's not the time to try to fill it. By that time, it's usually too late, and life becomes very, very hectic at that point. And then find out for you specifically, how would you identify ways to fill your own well? Take some time to do that when we finish this call today. Figure out ways that you can fill your well on a daily basis, and figure out some ways that you can fill your well on a weekly, monthly, or yearly basis. And then we wrapped up with being effective communicators. Out of the short time we spent on being an effective communicator, the most powerful sentence probably would be, you measure your communication skills by the response that you receive. Don't forget that one. That one I really think is worth its weight in gold.
I'm back in the studio, and hopefully you've enjoyed this session. What I'd like you to do when we finish up here is go back into your workbook and finish these exercises. Really take time to analyze this information so you continue to grow and you will master the art of follow-through.